All right. Well, we'll get started. As you can see, I'm not Pastor Dwayne. As you know, Pastor Dwayne is in Disneyland. I think you were just talking about it. It's pretty warm down there. He said it actually hasn't been extremely warm. It's been a little bit cooler than they would like. I think it was 50 mile an hour winds or something with, like, I don't know. I can't remember the temps. Or it was either 40 mile an hour and 50 degree weather, but it's been cooler. It's supposed to get warmer, but he sends his warm greetings. He said, don't rub it in too much, but so they're having a good time down there. So I'm going to share today, and I have a sort of an analogy. As you can see, I have some props here. I like to have props so that you're not looking at me as much, but the props. And so the idea is to be built up. And as you can see, I have some building tools here. And so I'm just going to jump in with the scripture, sort of the foundational scripture of where I got this idea from, or the one that came up as I was thinking about this, as I was actually working. I got this idea because I'm remodeling my basement and spending a lot of time in a small room with this compressor and a nail gun and, you know, listening to Brother Hagin messages and just whatever. You start thinking about things and you start to see different principles from the Word in real life. And so occasionally pastor asked me to fill in, and I thought that's an interesting idea. I'm going to explore that a bit. So anyway, Jude 1:20, actually starting in verse 18, it says, they told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts, because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. Dear friends, use your most holy faith. This is another version of verse 19. Or verse 20, rather. That first one was the NLT. Again, this is Jude 1:19. Dear friends, use your most holy faith to grow. Pray with the Holy Spirit's help. So we're contrasting these last times. Of course, we're in the last times. Are we in the last of the last times? I guess we'll know when it's all over, won't we? But we're definitely in the last times. And there's going to be scoffers, other scoffers, who it seems like their purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. Sure, we can look around and see those examples of those things in our society, in our culture, even in the church, unfortunately. These are the ones who create divisions. So people in that their purpose is to create separation, to separate us among us. It's not meant for us to be separated. We're supposed to be a body, united. But they follow their natural instincts. So we all have, you know, we say, oh, that was a carnal decision, or you're acting carnally. Really, we all have carnality. It's just our senses. And when you say you're being carnal, well, we're carnal every day. We have things we have to do that are carnal in nature. They're natural. Yet we don't follow those instincts. That means what those things are limited by is just what they can see, hear, feel, and touch. That's your carnality, is your senses. So they follow only those things. And as Chris was sharing before, a lot of our carnality or our natural instincts are guided by what we see put out messaging, that messaging that's put out. And there's a lot of natural messaging right now with our ability to view things at any moment's notice, get news updates on our text, get all kinds of messaging about what is normal, about what is true, about what is good, about what is sort of worthy of going after and seeking out. And many times we find, and I'm not just feeling sorry for myself as a Christian, but I don't see God being held up as by the world as a standard, because that's changed. This isn't really my notes, but that's changed. In our country, it used to be even people who weren't Christian understood the principles of Christianity are what helped this country. And they understood that if we get away from this, I don't buy into that whole this thing all the way, but if we get away from this it's going to hurt us, and it's going to be to our own hurt if we reject this. And that's a change. People think, oh, it's always been separation of church and state, and we've always had this sort of secular and religious, and that's not really true. Of course, there's always been dissension and people that aren't believers and people thwarting the church. It's been worse in different places at different times than it is here. But this country's history has been that it's not been so separate, and the messaging has not been so anti-Christ. And people say, oh, well, there's God is revealed in different things, and, you know, people doing the right thing, that's showing God. Well, then why can't they give glory to God? The purpose of having those things, when the 10 lepers came to Jesus and they were all healed and walked away, Jesus praised that one because he came back and did what? He glorified God. He gave praise to God. And I dare say that that was the only one who probably maybe hung on to that healing because he knew the source and he recognized the source. That's the real issue, is that we're not recognizing the source anymore. And by doing that, we're unhooking. Disconnecting from the source of why this country was great to begin with. So that's just a little aside, but certainly that those natural instincts and those things which we might see and hear we're susceptible to. So how do we stay in a position where we're not following after our natural instincts? And that's where this analogy comes in, is basically if you think of us as all, if you will, an air compressor. Okay, now you can't tell me without looking at the gauges. There's some gauges here that would tell you what the pressure is in this air compressor. You can't really tell me what is inside of that air compressor, right? You wouldn't know if it was pressurized air in there. You wouldn't know if it was all valves are open and there's really no pressurized air. It's just sort of the natural air around you. This naturally occurring air is what would be in there if it wasn't pressurized. But yet when I close the valves, the release valves, and plug it in to power, it compresses air. Okay? And right now it happens to be compressed, but so for us, we're like this. We have this vessel here, if you will, and we're to be filled. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to continue. That's a present tense. Be filled. Be filled. So we need to continue with that. We need to stir ourselves up, build each other up. And so if we're a little low, how can we do that? Well, sometimes we need to make a little bit of noise to get filled up. So I just want to let a little air out here for you. And it's going to be loud, so you might want to cover your ears if you're... Okay? Now it's a little low. So what it's going to do is, but you wouldn't notice that it's a little low. And if I plugged in, there's still some power in there and so forth, but it's a little bit below what its maximum operating is and what its capacity is. So now when I plug this in, it's going to get loud again. But think about this, what we just did in prayer. Sometimes, and I'm not saying that we always have to get loud or it's your volume, but sometimes you have to take some time, and it might not be the volume, but the activity of building yourself up, what Jude is talking about is praying, taking some time. And what is one of the best, what do they say the highest form of prayer is? Praise. Praise. Because it's really when you're thanking God, it's like the highest way to express your faith. You don't see it yet, but yet you're thanking God because you see it in the spiritual. You believe it based on His word. You can see it. The inward witness, the impression you have, you haven't seen it necessarily, had a vision of something. Maybe you have. Maybe you've imagined yourself healthy, and you should. We should use our imaginations that way, to imagine ourselves the way that, not that we see, not that sometimes our carnality is guiding us, but the way that God's promise tells us we are to be. And specific promises for us. Some of those rhema words that we've gotten, some of those things that have been made alive to us, maybe pastors have prayed over us, maybe in prayer we've gotten some direction or some guidance or some things for our children, to stay over our children, some places that we think our family is supposed to be positioned. Those are some of those things that we can hang on to and lift up in prayer. So I'm not just trying to say we have to make a bunch of noise, but giving thanks, we should lift up our voice to God. And you know, I can make noise and I'm a pretty demonstrative person, but I can be at a game and make noise, and I'm with some of my family and maybe they're making noise and yelling and doing stuff. But in church, it was our tradition that you were quiet in church. You didn't make any noise during praise and worship. You sang the words in the song the way they were sung. And if you didn't have a very good voice, you know what? Maybe just don't sing. Okay. And, I was actually discouraged from singing, but, anyways, so again, this is gonna be a little loud. So I'm plugged in. I might have to let a little more air off. Okay, so it makes a little noise. It shakes one time. So there's a lot of ideas that come to me with this kind of an analogy, but one time I was doing some work in our old house that we sold. It was right over here on Niles Avenue. And do you remember what I'm talking about? No? There's so many stories, yeah. And we were in bed at night, and all of a sudden, there was somebody cutting through our wall. I mean, it was shaking the house. I woke up. It was 2 in the morning. I mean, there was either somebody driving their car and hit into our wall, but it kept going. So I was like, someone's cutting through our house? What is going on? You know, you're disoriented. And then I stopped for a moment, got out of my bed, and I was like, what is going on? Because, I mean, it was shaking. It was really loud. Well, this thing, what happens is now this is filled right now, but just over the course of time, not even being used, just over just sitting here, slight amounts will start to leak just from sitting. So if we were to stay here for 10 hours or whatever, 8 hours, sometimes it's less depending on, you know, again, also depending on the environment. So what the environment is acting like will affect how often this needs to be filled up. Also, its use. It's meant to be filled up, used, filled up. As you're using it, filling up. As you're using and going, it's going to just kick on. All of a sudden, it just kicks on. You can unplug it. So let's say I fill it up right now and the kids are taking a nap. This is when the kids were younger, I would do this. I'd fill it up before nap time. Jude would go take his nap. And sometimes I'd forget to unplug it and kick on. And the kids slept through that. But did I finish that part? What I found, I got out of bed. And I realized it was this thing. So I went downstairs and it had kicked on. And it was, you know, it was moving the house. I could feel the vibration of it. And it was very startling in the middle of the night. And again, it's not just the outward, you know, oh, giving thanks to God's got to be a bunch of, you know, histrionics and I'm going to, but you know what? If we're engaged, look how people can get so engaged in just many, many things, conversations, you know, talking about politics. People can get so heated and raise their voice a bit because they're passionate about it. So if we have something we're passionate about now, everybody's going to have a different expression. The different personalities gathered in this room. And again, I know I'm among one of the more demonstrative and maybe, you know, louder. My children have inherited some of my voice qualities. My teachers always used to say, what did they say? It's not that Sean's loud. His voice carries. They'd always say that. They said that all the way through, like trying to be nice. Like, it's not that you're so loud, Sean, just your voice carries. I thought, what's the difference? Like, they know I'm not trying to be super loud, but no, your voice just has a way of getting around the room at the wrong time. So, but now, so we have this filled up. And again, I can unplug and use it for a time and it'll work. But as I'm using it, it requires more air inside. And obviously we can see the connection there is that, we get filled up. Maybe we come to church and we plug in, we get filled up. We hear someone else praying and that stirs us up. And that's good. We're supposed to, it says build each other up. It says that in 1 Thessalonians as well, to build each other up. There's other areas. Build each other up in your most holy faith. Encouraging one another while it is still today. So there's a lot of scriptures about why we're gathered here together. That's important. We want to get filled up. But now and I filled this up beforehand because it takes a while from zero to get to its maximum. And I only let it out probably, 10 PSI. PSI is pounds per square inch. So I just let it out about 10. It says the max is 135, but I've never seen it that high. So I only let it out a little bit, but you heard it. It took some time. It took a little bit of, that motor worked hard to get it put back in. Now, it's not so much that we have to work hard. It's just we might have to spend a little time and start to say things to get things out. Our words are so key. Are we going to, I mean, we can meditate. We can pray under our breath if we're in a, situation where we're not going to be standing up at work and praying in tongues. And, you know, I mean, that would be a foolishness. But we can do that under our breath. If we're at the, you know, walking down the hallway, no one's around. We can be wise about that, but we can continue in that, continue being plugged in throughout the week. And then we come together on a Wednesday night and we, you know, we've been dealing with stuff, but we get built up. We get built up again. And then it's much easier throughout the week to keep that level up, to keep our sensitivity up, to have that power for what purpose now? So this is sitting here with power in it, and I've got my nail gun with my cord. Okay? And I'm gonna put these two boards together. It says, whatever you bind, I think it's Matthew 18:18. Whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. Okay, so I'm gonna bind some things together. Maybe I need to you know, there's a couple examples I'll get to, but let's say I'm just gonna call out some things with some authority. Okay? Now there's a couple of problems here. Is one, I don't have any nails. So I've got to get nails. What do nails represent in this analogy, do you think? I want to venture, be brave and venture against. There's not too many things. We've got the Holy Spirit sort of building us up in our most precious faith, confidence, our confidence in the Lord, our trust, the Word being built up in us. There's a lot of different ways you could say, what are you built up on? And there's a number of ways we could tap into, things we can tap into. But really, the power of God is, we get that through the Holy Ghost, and through His Word. Word and faith working together, love, faith works by love. So a lot of these different things we could say would be in here. We get built up in love. Love's a great power in itself, isn't it? But the nails, I just gave away. Nails are the words we speak. These are the things, we have all stuff built up. If we're not using it, not doing anything besides we go to church, it's just on its own going to start to leak. And then not only that, but if we're not using it to do things, we're supposed to be abound to every good work. We're built up for every good work. So we see something that's separated. Maybe it's somebody separated from God. So maybe we have this person, they're separated from God. We want to start to bind some things. Brother Hagin talks about he's praying for his brother. And he was asking God to do this stuff and asking God. And God said, I've already done everything I'm going to do about it. You've got all the authority you need right where you are. So the authority we have are faith-filled words. Okay, so we've got our nails in here. But get them in there. Okay. Now, yeah, don't worry. I don't have it. It's not connected yet. I'll go over safety procedures as I connect it here. But now, many times what I know I've done in the past, not even realizing it, because I'm a Christian. I'm born again and spirit-filled. I go to a full gospel church. I've learned this stuff. I know better. I know how to speak words and get things done. So I'm going to just approach this situation, whatever the situation might be. And many times it's my own life. I've got things I'm believing God for, trusting God for. And I find not enough, and that's something I could say as a New Year's resolution. And I shouldn't do that with quotes because that diminishes it. But it is something, as I reflect, that's something I want to do more is really lift up those needs of others that are eternal. I find myself praying about things that are, what would you call that? What's the opposite of eternal? Temporal. Thank you. That's the word. Temporal. Anybody else? You know, you don't have to raise your hand, but find ourselves praying about things that are really temporal. And then they're not going to, when final analysis, they're not going to matter. The things that are going to matter are people and where they're going. And so let's say I have a situation that I need to speak life into, whatever the situation might be. We need to speak life into it. A coworker. And so I'm going to pray. And I'm going to try and bind some things. And I'm just, you know, I line them up kind of, you know, and I'm in prayer maybe, or I'm just, you know, thinking on my breath, and I'm trying to get this to go, and I'm going, what's the deal? I know the word. I'm saying the word. It's not working. It's not working. And what's the problem is that I'm not hooked up to the power. I'm trying to do it in what I know to do. I'm trying to do it in my own strength, even though I've got the word. I've got the word, but the word mixed with faith. That's where the real power is, that faith-filled words. Words that we don't need a ton of them. You know, I could have this thing filled with nails. I actually ran out of nails because I've been using them, but I could have this jacket of nails lined up and not have any power go out because I'm not really I'm trusting in myself and what I know to do. Even though you'd go, well, on the surface, it looks good. Everything looks pretty good, but I'm not connected. I'm not really, again, the 10 lepers that were healed, only one went back and recognized the source. And so, but it doesn't take much to connect. We just do a little examination. And I found this so true for myself. Is like, I go, when I know I'm striving to get something done, I know I'm really, really fighting the fight of faith. And I think, wait a second, am I in faith or am I in, or who am I in faith for? Who am I trusting right now? Am I trusting the arm of the flesh? And I find I can fall into that so easily and not even realize it until I'm sitting there frustrated and I'm going, why am I frustrated? If I'm in faith, how can I be, you know, and not that you won't have your, Brother Hagin said that you could be doubting in your mind and have faith in your heart. That can't happen. Doubts will come. So you can't convict yourself as soon as you have a doubt. And just go, oh, well, I'm out of faith now. You know, man, I lost it now. Nothing's going to happen. But those words I spoke, that prayer I had, you know, that's where you can, if you adopt that and start to be condemned by it, then of course we can adjust and affect our outcome to the negative. But so the point is we can just hook up and then, you know, I've got all this power in here, but how much is going to come to the working end is determined by how much I'm drawing, how much I'm pulling on. So I just turn this up all the way, and then I'm going to go ahead and if I had the sleight of hand, I can't remove those now. They're a little bit big. Okay. So, now I know Sally's a little nervous over that, it's okay. This operates by a release here, there's a safety essentially. This has to be depressed, and then this trigger has to be pulled, okay? So, it's not just gonna start firing off nails. I've never even tried doing that. You'd think maybe, being a guy, I would have done that by now. But I haven't done that, because I've just thought, you know, if I'm pulling this back and I shoot it, what if something slips and goes in my hand, or just, I've never done it, so I'm not going to do it, but let's say I'm doing this, and I'm going along, I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm filled up, I'm prayed up, and let's get this done, and I start to drive things in, and I'm like, all right, I got a couple nails in, and you can see a release here. I don't know if you can see that, but you can see my hair blowing up. But I'm going, what's the deal? It's not hooked up. I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm in the situation here, but what am I? I'm not speaking those words that the Holy Spirit has given me. So it's not really going to bind anything together. And I think, oh, this seems complicated. It's pretty simple. It's pretty like, oh, duh. As soon as you notice like things aren't, it's making marks and it looks like it's bound. Looks like the nails have gone in and secured things, but it's not having an effect. And you go, wait, why isn't that together? It's because you don't have those words filling your mouth. All right? So now I'm going to put a real nail in there. Okay. Technical difficulty there. All right, here we go. I'm driving in the side here because I don't think these are long enough to go all the way through here. Barely. This is called toenailing. Okay, now, I put those nails in and established a good connection there. And just so everybody can be okay, I'll take that, unhook that, so you can be at ease. But the nails are sticking out a little bit. Okay, so I've got this thing, they're together. It's pretty strong together. And, but I'm going to continue to speak over this. I'm going to continue to keep this thing together. And just watering with the word. Now, this might not look like watering with the word, but this is going to drive that nail in even farther. So, and just over the course of time with use and so forth, that nails can become loosened. But if you drive it in there and embed it inside that wood, it has a much greater chance of staying tight. And you notice I came at it from different angles. So now I've got resistance. If they were all just straight down from the top, all it would take is one pressure from one direction. But having nailed in this way, this way, this way, I could put more nails in. It creates a stronger bond. So you come at a problem from different points. And the point, a lot of times we just have this, we have one tool in the bag. Tony Cook, I think, uses that a lot. He says, if the only tool you have is a hammer, it's amazing how much everything looks like a nail. Every problem looks like a nail. And so you just take your hammer, boom, I'm going to hammer it with the word. I'm going to come down with authority and pa, pa. And what can this hammer do? It can build things, but it can also destroy, can't it? So, but I can drive these in as I'm, you know, I notice it's taking hold, but I just want to make sure they get in there. This is also a matter of fact of knowing the right tool to use, isn't it? If I did this with just the hammer, it would bend the nail. If I came at it a nail at an angle, and it would just bend that nail in there. It wouldn't drive it deeper into its purpose. Okay? Where'd I have that other one? That one was right there. That one's pretty good. Had a couple over here. And sometimes the ones we do at a funny angle, they're not lined up quite as well as the others, so they stick out a little more. So things that we're not used to doing, maybe we've thought of a situation and we've prayed about it and we're not seeing the results and we've done what we know to do. Again, we're trying the best, and bless our hearts, we make mistakes and we do things that we don't realize we're doing it, but we're not really connecting to what God has to say about that situation, because he might come at a totally different angle than we would. You know, we go, okay, I gotta love that person. That means I've got to do this. Instead of going, Father, I love, let me just lift that person out. Let me just, what do you have for that person? What would you want me to do in this situation? Because he might want you to tell the truth in love. And that's sometimes like, oh, well, no, I don't want to do that. What if he doesn't like that? You know, or what if they respond kind of ugly? You know, let's try another one. I'll come back. It's kind of like the magic eight ball. Oh, no, God, let's try a different answer. Oh, okay. You want me to do that again? Oh, God, I misheard you. I'm going to check again. Okay, no, God doesn't change his mind. You know, he's going to say, no, do it this way. You know, obey, and then I'm going to give you the grace. Also, as you're doing that, you don't know what you're unlocking spiritually for that to affect that person right now, to affect their heart. So now, as we have done this, and as we've built up here, now we go out. Let's say we've heard some good word. Somebody said something. Like last week, Leanne was praying out about some stuff about houses. Things being sold in houses. So, of course, my wife's a realtor and I'm a realtor. And so that resonated with us, obviously. I mean, that was, you know, yeah, we'll take that. Good. You know, it's a good word. But let's say we go out during the week and it doesn't look like things are going to sell. We got a buyer and they come in and maybe it's not, they've gone for the second showing. And so it looks like they're primed and ready to go. And then that falls through. We don't have showings. And that was the first showing we've had in a while. And now potentially get discouraged comes. Well, that's okay. That comes. That potential. Chris was sharing about that earlier. But when we start to speak about those things and say, you know, is that place ever going to sell? What do you think happens a little here? We bleed off a little. So what we've built up and put in, now we're bleeding off a little bit. Okay. And so when we go back and now we're going, I'm gonna get in there and do this. We don't have quite, now the nails are sticking out more. When we go to nail in, they're gonna stick out more. They're not gonna be driven in as deep to start with. That's okay. We can drive those nails in. But when the nails are sticking out pretty far and I start to try and sink them in, the nails can get kind of bent, and man, it's better just to drive them in hard that first time with a word of faith, with that faith mixed with love, the confidence, the trust, whatever it is that you need. That you need to be empowered with to be able to speak with authority and affect situations. Because we should be affecting situations in our lives. We're supposed to be the hands and the feet. We're supposed to walk out this ministry that Jesus has left us to do. It's his ministry, so he's going to empower us. All right? So, as we're also doing this, we have an enemy. Chris shared about this earlier. I'm glad that Chris shared earlier because I have a lot of things to reference. But he seeks about like a thief. What does a thief use sometimes to get access? Thief used that to get access to this building. Crowbar, you'd be amazed. Maybe not. Maybe some of you know this. But when I went through firefighter training, some of the ways to get access to a building, I mean, it's not that hard to take a crowbar and go against most locks and, you know, you just pop that door, the deadbolt even. It just isn't that hard. You can, you know, a little bit bigger one with a little longer arm at this end gives you a little more boost, a little bit more distance to get that lock extracted from the wall. But what does the thief do? He doesn't have a lot of power, does he? The enemy's he's been defeated. And John, 1 John 5, No. He says that our faith overcomes the world. Could someone look that up so I'm not misquoting that, please? Even our faith which overcomes the world. But so the enemy doesn't have power over us. It says the church would prevail against the gates of hell. So we have the victory, but he's still going to seek about. He seeks about. He's a thief, and he seeks about for whom he will what? Devour. He's seeking about. So he's looking for ways. Let's say now. Let me just take this. I'm gonna just share something that from Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin shared about words. Has anybody ever read his little book on words? You know that little book? It's a very powerful book. I haven't read it in a couple years, and I read it just recently. And you know what's amazing when you go back to something, you go, you know, I'm not saying like, wow, I've just grown in certain things, but I have grown in certain things. We should all be growing in certain things. And when you look at it again from a different perspective, you go, now I understand another part of what he was saying here. And he was talking about praying for his kids and how, you know, he didn't pray for his kids, but maybe five or six times their whole lives for them to get saved and, you know, for certain things. He just spoke when they were born. He lifted them up and presented them to God. Spoke words over their lives, and then that was enough. He prayed for them, he said, a handful of times in their whole lives. Brother Hagin, you'd think he was praying for his kids all the time. I'm not saying you should make religion out of this. I pray for my kids a lot. I don't go, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to say one thing. But the idea that he's getting across is that his words had authority. And when those children were born, he had that authority. He used it. We all have it. It's not Brother Hagin that had some special... He was set apart. Yes, he had a special call in his life and all that, but the authority that he had to speak faith was not just given to him. It's given to all of us. The Holy Spirit was given to all of us. He was operating in faith, believing in the Word. We have the Word in abundance. We have it in multiple translations. We can have knowledge of this Word in so many different ways that were never available, even not that long ago. To get multiple translations, to get the Greek, I think 30, 40 years ago, now I don't know for sure, but the availability, there's no question. It's way more available. I could look up words in here in Greek in a matter of 10 seconds, maybe less. So it used to be just certain people would have access to that. Now we have so much access. But does that make us appreciate it maybe a little less? You know, what's that? Supply and demand. You know, when there's an abundance of supply, sometimes people, I don't need that so bad, you know. It becomes less valuable. And that's just a possible thing that we've seen in the church too with the availability. We don't see it maybe as precious as once was when it cost maybe a week's wages to buy a Bible. Maybe you had one Bible in the house. Maybe it was and the Word of God was taught in schools. They actually used the Bible, verses in the Bible, to teach things and teach principles and character to children. But he says in here, this is the book. It's just called, it says words. He says about children are a product of words. He says that in capital letters. Children are a product of words. And most of this is just stuff that he preached that was written down later. So this is actually one of his messages. Words heal us or make us sick. Words bless us or curse us. The words I hear in the morning will linger with me all through the day. How little wives may realize that a biting, stinging word in the morning will rob a husband of efficiency the whole day long. But a loving, tender, beautiful word, a little prayer word, will fill him with music and lead him into victory. Learn to make words work for you. Learn to fill words with power that cannot be resisted. The way you fill words with power that cannot be resisted is to fill words with love and faith. The home atmosphere is a product of words. 1 Peter 3:7. This is where I want to go with this, because when you see a man and a wife joined in marriage, this is why I'm just going to use this example of man. You know, they're one in God's eyes. Let no man separate what God has joined. So when he says let no man, that means there's a possibility it could be separated. It says let no man separate what God has joined. Let no man. Okay, so. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So when we start to, now we have our we set our vows, our marriage vows. We made a commitment to our wives because, and Kenneth Hagin was talking about women saying something, a biting or stinging word in the morning, how that lingers with a man and robs him of certain things. And why would you want to do that? That's your partner in life. You're joined to that person. So you bring them down, you go down, right? You bring them up, you come up, you know? So you go, you're as one with that person. That's a spiritual principle, but he's talking about Christ and the church. That's what that verse says, but he still uses this example of marriage. But now think of the enemy. What does the enemy want to do? Does he want to see your marriage thrive and grow and maybe be an example to others and maybe be a place where your children feel loved and secure? No, he doesn't want any of that. He wants to steal. He wants to steal your marriage. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your children. He wants to kill you. It's not playtime with him. He wants to destroy us. He wants to, but he can't. He can't just destroy us, or he would. If he had the power that the world gives him credit for, he would just destroy us all. He would possess us all, and he would destroy us all. He can't. He cannot. But what does he seeks about? He seeks about. He's going to go around here and find a place, see if he can get a hold in here. Okay, I can't really right there. I don't have enough. He doesn't have the strength, but he's going to maybe plant something. He might plant something to get it started. What happens now? Whoops, that didn't. You're not supposed to do that yet, Borden. Well, let me just put another nail in there. Whoop, I found I need to put another nail in. Maybe you find a weak spot. Maybe you find a spot. You go, you know what? I need to encourage my wife. I'm going to give my wife some words of encouragement. Now, when I say encouragement, I'm going to say encouragement. You know what I mean? Some of us think that we're encouraging our wives, maybe, or encouraging our spouse, and we're really, telling the truth in love, but it's more critical. I mean, there's a place for that, obviously, but we can, we can think we're telling, and we know something's true because we see a weakness, and it's true. I see that. I see what you're doing and what it's causing. But man, the way we bring it out can either build up or destroy, can it? It can be the opposite of this. We can come in with the hammer, and the hammer's actually going to separate. The hammer, actually, I'm going to show you just in a second here. The hammer's actually going to reinforce something that you don't really want to reinforce. And that's what the enemy's trying to do in your marriage. So the enemy's seeking about, and he's just looking for weak points. And he's just planting a seed, planting a little wet, like, hey, what about that? Maybe, hey, remember what you've asked your spouse to do? They haven't done that yet, have they? You've asked them. It's been years. They're not doing that, are they? And you can either give place to that and start mulling it over. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And you start thinking about it. It starts driving it a little more. And now you bring it up to your wife. And now maybe she's thinking about it, and then later on it comes back with something. And then now it's built up even more. And now maybe it starts to seep in, and you're saying stuff publicly to your wife or about your wife. And so my wife, maybe she didn't nag me so much, and you're just driving that in and driving it in and driving it in. And then kids are exposed to this environment. We've got children exposed to this separation now. They're going, how can I trust in the stability of this item when it's being driven apart? Driven apart by words that are spoken. Now we can undo it. The great thing is, if we've done this, because we've all done it, we've made mistakes, we can undo it. We can just take it out again with our words, rebuke that, undo what we've planted, the seed we've planted. We can rebuke that seed, tell it to grow no more, just like Jesus did with the fig tree. He rebuked it. May you have produced no fruit. We can do that. We have the authority, even in the mistakes we've made. Think about that boy who was listening to Paul preach, and he fell asleep and fell out of a window. What's his name? Eutychus. Even though you could say, well, maybe that was foolish for him to be sitting in a window two stories up and fall asleep. Maybe if he started feeling sleepy, maybe he should have gotten out of the window. That didn't matter. Was it his own fault that he fell out of a window? I guess. Paul didn't care. God didn't care. That guy was revived. He was brought back to life. He was dead. Paul got laid on him, and the boy was brought back to life. Paul didn't do it. Power of God. So now we can rebuke those things that we've done. Once we recognize that, that's the other great thing about being built up, is we can go, oh man, why am I doing that? And you can see the error of your ways, and then you can, now using the hammer for the right purpose, start to speak words of blessing and grace over your marriage. And not entertaining. When you don't entertain, I've had that happen recently. You're at family events, and some might say something about, oh, women, And You know, there's some things that are gender jokes, you know, that are funny, right? There's some things that we say about like men and women, how they do things differently or whatever that might be funny. But when it's sort of pointed in like, a complaint about women, do you know what I'm saying? The difference between like sort of joking about, oh, men do things a little differently than women, isn't that, you know, and how I can't even think of a good example, but something that would be wholesome, but just sort of poking fun at men or poking fun at the difference between genders. That's okay. We're not gonna be religious. But when someone says something and they kind of look at me like, right? I'm like, nope, not my wife. It's not just by faith, because I really believe those things about my wife. I'm really blessed. So, but, you know, that comes from working on that. That's not just, you know, just fall out of the sky. I mean, she's a great lady, but I mean, we got to work on getting to a place where we have trust built up and all that stuff. But part of that is that not entertaining that when someone throws that line out to you, it's kind of like, and they don't realize they're being an agent of Satan, but they're throwing a line out to you. They're throwing bait. That's the bait. Are you going to get offended? Are you going to be able to take this in and say, yeah, I know. Yeah. Women, you know, yeah, they're always telling us what they think. Always telling us, they always want to talk about feelings, which actually I'm more of a talker than my wife, so I can't really go on with that one anyways, but you know what I'm talking about. And we can either take hold of that and casually, but why would we take hold of something so dangerous and drive a wedge into something so important? Because you know what? It says, as you love your wife, as you love yourself, you love your wife. So if you see somebody who's riding, you know, putting their wife down and stuff, that's a reflection of how they feel about themselves. And so whenever I know I get into a mode where I'm being critical of my spouse, I have to go, gosh, yeah, you know what? This is a reflection of how I feel about myself. This isn't about her. There's nothing to do with that situation, really. The heart of this issue, if we get to the root of the issue, it's about me. It's about how I feel about myself, and it's a reflection. I'm reflecting that towards her. That's what's coming out. And now that's not, you know, that's not new, but man, it can be new to us when we're in that situation. Where we're sitting there thinking we're so justified. We're so justified in driving that wedge in there. We're just gonna, and then, you know what? The Holy Ghost is still gonna want to talk to you. You're just about ready just to go, yeah, you know what? I've had it. I'm justified in this. I saw that on Dr. Phil. You should be this. You should be doing this. And you know what the Bible says? You should submit. Submit to your, I'll take the word. Now I'm really gotcha. I got the word on this, man. I'm gonna, Wait, you're supposed to love your wife. Submit one to another. So then if you're really looking to the word, you're gonna have other things come up that you're gonna either have to totally ignore. You're gonna have to ignore it and go on your own will and start destroying some things. But thank God we can build them back up. We can build them back up. You know, because we're going to make mistakes, especially I think in marriage is one of those ones where it's, you know, they get to see the good, bad, and the ugly. And hopefully they get to see more of the good than the bad and the ugly, you know, and that's a growing process, I know for us. But what we're filled up with is what's going to come out. And you can't tell from the outside. I could drain this whole thing out. Everything looks the same. This hose would lose some of its tension, so it would drop down and stuff, But really, it's not just what's on the outside. It's that'll produce based on what's on the inside. So, right. One thing, last thought is just in the theme of the new year. Think about your words and where you want to go in this new year. As you're thinking about, you know, it's just natural. You get prompted to do it, but it's also natural when you start something new to sort of think about where it's going to end up. And we might just think about that and ignore it, but there's really an opportunity there to speak things out about this year for yourself, for your family, for your children. And like Brother Hagin said, a household is a product of words. The atmosphere in your household is a product of words. And I've noticed you know, like just something that Jennifer and I, we work together, so we have to talk about work situations, but many times we do that in our living room. And sometimes there's negative things. And I think, well, our household, we say really healthy words to each other. I don't run my wife down in front of my kids. I'm doing it behind their backs either. But, you know, we don't have a big issue with like arguing in front of our children. That's just not something we've struggled with. Our personality types, whatever may be the case, we have other things we have to work on. But I don't have that big issue, I believe, with saying certain things about my wife to my kids. And I'm like, God, I gotta clean my language up about my wife in front of my children. You know, but they can pick up on very subtle communication, can't they? kids are, they're amazing. The human brain is amazing for what it can pick up, the information it can pick up. You know, they haven't been able to reproduce what the intricacies of the human brain, the ways that you can figure out a situation, the subtleties of a situation so quickly and determine who's in power in a situation. You can determine that real quickly. You come in and go, oh, yeah, what's going on? Okay. Right away. Kids are the same way. They can pick up on things, subtle communication. So though I might not say things, I have to watch sometimes I have an attitude in what I say. It's not what you say, it's how you say it so many times too. But also, you might just talk about things, politics. You might find yourself talking about things that are negative and getting heated up. You know what? Those are negative words now that you've just put out there. You know, we're talking about people who have done stupid things. I mean, there's people that we're going, that is so stupid. Why would they do that? And then we start talking about that person and running that person down a little bit or a lot. And that we're not being personal and nasty, but we're talking negative. We're still talking negative. I mean, we can justify and say, well, I didn't cuss. I'm not cussing anybody out. I'm not going after them for reasons that are, you know, really small and bigotry and all these other things. I don't have any of that going on. But yet I'm running down a person in front of my children. I just confess my fault. I've done that I might be justified because they've done something against us in business, treated one of our clients improperly, done something like that where you go, people, you make me mad. Well, I have a choice though. What am I going to do with that? Well, now we have to be wise and do things to protect ourselves and our clients and do things in business. But man, I don't need to sit there and, you know, belabor the point. Let's make a plan and move on. We have to sit there and get into about why that person is wrong. And those are words that are out there. So we have to, it's not just the words that we speak, the obvious things, running down our kids directly to them, but even just the tone and the attitude that comes out towards our kids. Words that are faith-filled, not just words that don't violate something. You know, there's that side of it. We're not violating our conscience, but are we building up? Are we choosing to build each other up with our words? And that's what I would encourage all of us to do. This year is a great opportunity at the beginning of the year to just start building yourself and build others up, build in your household. It's a great place to start. So that's all I had for you. Thank you for bearing with me through all the props and the safety concerns.